Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
WAMV AM 1420, and we've got a very special guest right now, and I think you need to stay tuned, tune into this, and listen carefully, because we have, as you know, an election coming up, and a very pivotal election, where really the whole idea of what the country is sort of being discussed and voted on, and on the line. Judge Douglas H. Ginsburg is an appellate judge, federal judge who was appointed during the Reagan administration, and has been looking at the opinion of the Constitution in this country and some other things that are, I think you'll find, very, very interesting and have great application to everybody. And Judge Ginsburg, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
So it was a real pleasure. I'm really interested in this whole area. My dad was a lawyer, and he was, in fact, a lawyer for the L.A. City School System during the McCarthy era and during the separate but equal and all of that that was going on. And so the Constitution has always been very important as I was growing up. But what led you to put this particular show that's going to be on PBS together?
Well, Bob, so many young people, at least a generation and maybe more, have not had the opportunity you had to study the Constitution when you were in school, because schools have downgraded or eliminated civics education and American history. And the goal here with this program, A More or Less Perfect Union, is first to bring to the public television audience an awareness of some important issues about the Constitution and the ways in which it's been eroded, and then to serve as it is for a curriculum material that have been sent to 170,000 teachers of civics and history, and for providing excerpts from the program and critical thinking questions for discussion and assignments. We need to get civics education back to where it used to be, and maybe beyond, to repair the damage. Most people in the country cannot name the three branches of our government, let alone tell you anything significant about the Constitution. And in part, that's because the Constitution has played such a small role when the Supreme Court makes its decisions. It so rarely focuses on what the actual meaning of the words is, the original meaning of the Constitution is. They seem to be making it up as they go along under the doctrine of so-called living Constitution. So there are other organizations that are similarly trying to restore a proper degree of attention.
That's very interesting. You mentioned living Constitution versus, I suppose, the Constitution as being the stable, firm framework around which everything else is structured.
That's right. I mean, the Constitution is structure is the key to the Constitution, and it was set up with a strict division of powers, so that the legislative branch would legislate, the executive branch would carry out the laws, and the judicial branch would judge if there have been violations of the laws. And that's not the way the system is working now. The Congress has delegated much of its legislative authority to executive branch agencies. There were 18 times as many regulations with the force of law issued by executive branch agencies as there were actual laws passed by the Congress in the previous Congress from now. So that's a complete undermining of the way the system is supposed to work.
And so if you don't really adhere to the Constitution, we don't really have the same country, do we?
No, we don't have the same Constitution. It has been eroded by ambitious politicians, and the Supreme Court has tolerated it. In some cases, they've even abetted that process. And they have too often strayed from the actual meaning of the Constitution to insert a word or delete a word. And these things affect our liberties in important ways. To give you a recent example, 10, 12 years ago, the Supreme Court had a case called Kelo against the city of New London, Connecticut. New London had said we want to demolish all the homes in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And one of the homeowners wouldn't sell and went to the Supreme Court. She said, this isn't a public use. The Constitution says that the government can take property if they pay fair compensation for a public use. Well, this isn't a public use. Public use would be a school or a post office or a highway. And the Supreme Court said, well, it's a public purpose. We know that because the City of New London Council voted for it. And that's good enough. Well, a public that's much broader than a public use. And people were really concerned about that. And many states, most states, actually made it clear that they would not do this to their citizens. But this shows how lax the court has been in taking seriously the wording of the Constitution.
Now, one of the things you're doing with the program, which is called a more or less perfect union, is that correct?
That is exactly right.
And excerpts from this are being sent to civic teachers across the country. Are you finding that the situation is getting worse and that we really, that most of the people who want to, and I've heard even as much as get rid of or completely rewrite the Constitution because it has no value in today's information society. Do you find most of that push is coming from school kids and younger people, the millennials?
Well, millennials don't have much regard for the understanding of, let alone regard for the Constitution as it exists. And I think that's in part because of a lack of civics education, in part because our have been playing fast and loose with it. But a lot of the calls for instance, a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution come from special interest groups that have one particular goal in mind, like restoring the gold standard or something like that. It's not something that has broad appeal, and thank goodness, I don't think we could ever produce a constitution as good as the one we were given. Our best hope is to restore it to its real meaning.
Virginia was, I guess, a pivotal state in the Equal Rights Amendment and passed its approval of the Equal Rights Amendment, but 34 years too late. Am I correct that the Supreme Court has weighed in on this and said, well, you're 34 years too late, too bad?
Not yet. It's going to be litigated, I'm quite sure. But Justice Ginsburg has said already that he didn't see how we could count the late ratifying states without also taking account of the states that withdrew their ratification, which would mean that there are not enough states to ratify now. But it will have to be decided soon. But that would be, if it passed, it would be only the 28th Amendment. You know, the Supreme Court has amended the Constitution probably more times than the people of the United States have amended it.
That's right. Very interesting.
That's the source of the problem. So you've got the Congress delegating its authority to agencies, the courts tolerating all sorts of departures from the Constitution, and a public that is indifferent except when it touches their pocketbook, as in the takings case.
Yeah, this seems to be happening a lot, that the way we vote is, who's going to give us the most free stuff?
Yeah, right.
Kind of like the country for sale, you know. We'll sell out, just give us free this and free something else.
I guess if we had a new constitution or a new amendment, it could say there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody who's paying
for the Constitution.
It.
First line, there's no such thing as a free lunch. That's great. Well, what was your reaction to the students in Rhode Island who sued, claiming that they have a right to more civics education, and they are getting shortchanged?
Well, I think it's really a fascinating development. You know, the states are starting to respond. First of all, let me say, I think a lot of credit goes to Sandra Day O'Connor. When she retired from the Supreme Court and started iCivics, she started to make the public aware of how dire the straits are that we're in, where we have students who are not learning their history and not learning the Constitution. And in the last few months, the governor of Florida has directed that all high schools will now offer civics. requiring every high school in Illinois to offer civics. So we're making some headway, and I'm hoping that a more or less perfect union, the TV series and the teaching materials coming out of that, will make a major contribution to the effort to restore civics education.
I hate to say it, but there may be some of our audience who does not know what a course in civics covers.
Well, that's possible. I guess you're right.
Can you
some that? It could be called government. How's that?
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's a sorry pass when that's happened. So in a more or less perfect union in the series, we portray where the Constitution came from, what compromises had to be made in order to get agreement on a Constitution, and then how it had to be expanded to protect more people and more rights for us in terms of the Bill of Rights and the Civil War amendments. And then finally, the Constitution at risk, we talk about the ways in which things have been changed to our detriment, and elements of the Constitution have been either eroded or ignored. And now we have a situation where some segment of the public is so intent on suppressing the speech of other people they don't like that public universities are seeing and allowing speakers to be shouted down or prevented from speaking in the first place. And if there's a threat to our liberties, there couldn't be any one greater one than one that impinges on the First Amendment, which by the way, is protecting your right to broadcast this and my right to speak with you.
No, absolutely, and that was one of the reasons why the Fairness Doctrine was deemed no fair, and they got rid of that, because otherwise we'd have to provide somebody to come along after your eloquent segment here, and we'd have to have somebody saying, oh, we need to get rid of the Constitution.
Right.
and therefore there wouldn't be any talk radio. We'd go back to all music.
Well, that's right. Talk radio wouldn't really exist, let alone thrive, if we had a strict fairness doctrine again. But that was the law for a long time, and the Supreme Court never held it unconstitutional. The Federal Communications Commission put it out as a regulation that made it a law, and later on they rescinded it. So
I was out in Los Angeles when the first talk station in California came along, KLAC, and people could call in and they could talk about anything but religion and politics. And they couldn't be, so they were talking about all sorts of things like traffic safety and that sort of thing.
Right.
It made for a real engaging conversation.
I remember a parody under the Fairness Doctrine of an editorial by the station going to the effect of, people should eat.
Yes. there used to be a service, and it would send you editorial comment, and you get like one editorial a day. And there was one that came in that was all about the lovely tinkling sound of the ice cream truck. And people with
right.
viewpoints are encouraged to contact this station. We'll be given equal time.
But we need an informed public if we're going to have if we're going to preserve the Constitution. And that Fairness Doctrine, just as you say, inhibited robust debate about public issues. And the Supreme Court upheld it. It was upheld in a case called Miami Herald, the newspaper in Florida. So that gives you a sense of just how fragile our liberties are if the Supreme Court could uphold an intrusion like that on the right of free speech.
Well, there's certainly something that really needs to be considered when you cast your vote this year. And I'm sorry that we're running out of time, but when is the program going to be on PBS?
Well, it's appearing in local stations at different times. You can consult the local station for your PBS affiliate, and it's available streaming on the internet right now from freetochoosenetwork.org/constitution, and indeed it's also at the PBS website, so it's easy to see, and a lot of people have seen it already, even if their local PBS station hasn't yet broadcast it. So and the nice thing about streaming it is, of course, you can binge watch it if you want to. Watch all 3 hours.
Fantastic, and you can pause it and go back and see one particular segment. We're running out of time. I think you have another episode coming, another Judge Douglas Ginsburg, this has been a real honor for me and a privilege, and thank you so much for appearing on WAMV here in the heart of Virginia.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.